Hope you've had a nice morning. I had a pretty good morning. The last couple weeks haven't been great, but you know, about 2 weeks and 3 days ago, I was married to a lady, still married to her, and we were pulling weeds out in the yard, and she goes, "Well, come out here and help me pull weeds." I said, "I can't pull weeds. If I'm within 20 feet of poison ivy, it gets all over me." She goes, "Come on, stupid. There's no poison ivy in the flower beds." Or at least by tone, that's what she said. She didn't use those words. So she's pulling weeds, and I'm gathering them up, and she goes, "There's no poison ivy out here." I said, "Man, I'm so thankful I'm married to you, and you're honest and fair with me." So that was on a Thursday. By Saturday morning, it started breaking out on my arms. And because of an incident when I was 15, where I got it so bad, I got it in, around my eyes and in my ears and in my bloodstream, now when I get poison ivy, I get the benefit that it gets into my bloodstream and then starts coming out everywhere. So if you see me squirming, I'm not dancing, I'm itching. So in another, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, it'll heal up and clear up, and it'll be no harm, no foul. Right, Michelle? Actually, I assume that's where I got it. I'm not sure. And I probably shouldn't say that because that sounds mean. Is it possible to see something that's invisible? Is it possible to look out and notice something that you can't see? Imagine between services today, you walk around the back of this building and you know you have air around you, but you can't see that air. Is it possible to know that that air is there if you can't see it? Can you close your eyes and just know that it's there because of just the power of your presence? When you open your eyes back, can you see something? Everyone here knows you can't see air. Now, on a bad day in a big city, you can see particles of dirt in air called smog. But for us, we cannot see that. But yet, if I ask anyone here, is there air outside? Everybody would say, well, of course there is. Everyone knows there is. It's obvious there is. All you have to do is take a deep breath, and you know that there's air outside because you're able to live. Or maybe on a windy day, you can feel the air blowing past you. Or if you're a young person and you have a kite, and you're flying the kite, and the wind holds the kite up in the air, you say to yourself, there's air. And we know that there's air around us because of all of the evidence that we see. We know that there's air because there are ways to prove that that air is there. There are ways to prove and to know that it exists, even though with our eye we cannot see it. Visually, we cannot know it's there, but in some ways, by faith and by certain evidence, we believe that air exists. Have you ever wondered about another substance that you can't see? There's a substance that is keenly intertwined with this day that you and I cannot see. It's a substance that you and I believe is there, that you and I believe is here today, that you and I believe is part of our lives, that you and I believe directs and inspires and motivates our thinking, but yet you and I in no way can see that. God's Holy Spirit is something that you and I cannot see. But yet on the day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago, in a formal and dramatic way, God's Spirit came on our church, on the church of God. God's Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and it started to work in a broad way with God's people. It worked with individuals before that, but in a broad way, this is the day that God's Spirit started working with us. You know, if one of the reasons that it's so incredible to be here today is that the day of Pentecost reminds us and instructs us about what we know about God's Spirit. Today, what we're going to do in the time we have left is we're going to go through several tools in God's Word that give you and me the evidence we need to know that God's Spirit is working with you and me. To know as a matter of fact, to know as a matter with absolute faith and confidence that God's Spirit works with you and me. as much as you and I taking a deep breath proves that the air is around us, we'll be able to see from God's Word that there are ways to know that God's Spirit works through you and me. Turn to Acts chapter 2, please. The book of Acts chapter 2. We'll read a few scriptures that talk about this day today. Acts chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 8. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they were keeping one of God's holy days. They were coming together, they were meeting together to learn something out of God's Word. And then something different happened. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So they heard it. They heard the wind. They heard the sound. They knew that there was evidence that something was going on. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were Jews dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So this was something different. This was something new, and God used different ways to show that group on the day of Pentecost what was going on. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language which we were born?" So what they started to see is a change in themselves. They experienced a miracle of God's Spirit beginning to work with them. Go down to verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." Now, I don't know if it was okay to get drunk later in the day. That's always kind of confused me. You know, I don't know that it's proof because it's early in the morning, but verse 16, "But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." What we see in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost is the beginning of God's Spirit in a broad way working with God's people. God's Spirit working with God's people. Verse 37 of chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles and the rest of the apostles, 'What are we to do about this?'" They saw this miracle happen. They heard Peter talk about it. They knew what it was, and it affected them deep inside. It affected them to the point where they said, "There must be something we need to be doing about this." They got energized. They got motivated to change something in their lives. Verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" What happened on the day of Pentecost was that God's Spirit started in a formal way working with God's people. And He said, "Here is how you get it. You repent. You are baptized, you have the laying on of hands, and you receive God's Spirit." So if you're sitting here today and you're baptized, and you've had hands laid on you, and you've received God's Spirit, do you ever wonder, is God's Spirit still working with me? How do I know when I can't see this Spirit, when I can't see it, it's invisible, how do I know that God is still working with me? How do I know that God is doing something with me? Or was I just kind of caught up in this whole group and I'm just kind of here, sitting here every week and learning something? You know, I was born into this church. I attended this church all growing up. And in some ways, I have to ask myself from time to time, am I here because God's Spirit's leading me, or am I here because it's just habit? Am I here because it's just what I've always done? It's just how I've always lived? Or is there something different that God is doing with me, and how can I know that? The first way that we'll cover that we can know that God's Spirit is working with us is that God's Spirit keeps us in tune with God's wavelength. God's Spirit keeps us in tune with God's wavelength. God's Spirit in us gives us the thoughts and the attitudes that God has. It changes what we think about on a regular basis. It changes how we think and what we ponder and what we focus on. Now, it doesn't mean that a bad thought never happens, but what it does mean is that when a thought that's not in tune with what God would have us think about comes into our mind, God's Spirit motivates us to identify it and to get rid of it. If you've ever sat and had a wrong thought come across your mind and then said to yourself, that's a wrong thought, I need to get it out of my mind, that is the evidence of God's Spirit working with you. That's the evidence of God's Spirit working with me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9. You know, just like if I go out tomorrow afternoon and I fly a kite and the wind holds it in the air and I see evidence that the air is there. When we question what we're doing when we're doing something wrong, that is evidence that God's Spirit is working with us to keep us on the right path. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? In the Old Covenant, there were animal sacrifices to cover the sins of the people. When Jesus Christ came and died for you and me, it changed everything in a fundamental way. He's saying the old way wasn't wrong, wasn't bad, but this now covers everything. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This new way, God working with us, changes who we are on the inside. It changes how we think. It changes how we react. It changes what goes through our minds. And when the day of Pentecost came and God's Spirit was brought to the church of God, it started to change how you and I think. It started to change how people in the 30s AD thought. Because God was working with them in a way so much grander because of his sacrifice and what it says here, that it cleansed their conscience from dead works. When they were starting to have thoughts or go down paths that were against what God wanted, God's Spirit nudges, instructs, reminds, and moves us back in tune with him. It doesn't force us. It doesn't demand we do things, because we have to be responsive to it. But it brings to mind what God wants from you and me. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. We'll read verses 15 and 16. Romans 8, verse 15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." It bears witness. Another way to define that is that it convicts. There's the Greek word maturio, which is witness, can also be translated convicts. And when I read this, what it's saying to me is that God's Spirit convicts our spirit that we are the children of God. It reminds us, it encourages us, it brings to the front of our thinking that we are the children of God. So when we start to have a thought that isn't in tune with what God wants us to be thinking about, when we're on a different wavelength, God's Spirit changes and nudges us in the right way. And when we're going down the wrong path and it dawns on us, this is the wrong path, I need to change what I'm doing, that is evidence of God's Spirit working with you and working with me. It is evidence of that happening. You know, it helps us be convicted of what's right and what's wrong. I mean, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard of the Gosling trials, an abortion doctor, and what went on in his clinic. And I think anybody who heard even the smallest part of that is just violently repulsed by what went on. And that's God's Spirit working to keep our mind in tune with His mind. He's saying, I don't want you heading in that direction. I want you to be on my wavelength with my point of view. A second tool that we can use to know that we have God's Spirit is that God's Spirit imparts scriptural understanding and stimulates our memory and our recall. God's Spirit gives spiritual understanding, scriptural understanding, and stimulates our memory and recall. Turn over to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. John 14, and we'll read verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." God's Spirit teaches and reminds us what God wants us to know. So if you wonder, is God's Spirit still working with me? Here's a simple question. Where are you today? You are at church on the day of Pentecost. By conscious choice, you're here. Nobody was dragged here. Nobody was forced to come here. So if you're here today, you're here because it's the day of Pentecost. You're here because at some point in your life, God opened your mind and my mind to say, these holy days have incredible meaning. These days picture something better in the future, and I want you to come together on these days to learn what that means. God's Spirit opened your mind to that. God's Spirit also reminds you that that needs to be done all the time. You know, in this world, you can spend big money on memory aids, memory techniques, memory seminars. You can spend big money to learn how to hook things together in your memory, how to remember lists of things and long numbers, and how to memorize poems or short stories. But God gives you and me a special aid. He says when we study God's Word, He will, through His Spirit, help you and me remember what it is that we learn. How many of you know what day of the week the Sabbath is? Probably not a tough question in this crowd. But you remember that because God's Spirit works with you. Because I can tell you there are people that I've gone to church with that no longer believe what you and I believe and no longer can tell you when the holy days are. No longer can tell you what you and I believe, and they had done it for decades in some cases. When God's Spirit works with you and me, it explains or it opens up our mind to know what we know, and it reminds us of what we know. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. What has God prepared for you and me as people that He loves? I bet most of you would think His kingdom. When Jesus Christ was on earth and He said, I've got to go back to the Father, we're going to get something ready for you, we've got to prepare it, so that when you're there with us, we're all ready to go. That, if you have that understanding, God's Spirit is working with you. He says, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. When you and I know these things, it's not because we're brilliant or we're special or that we're some unique person that just has incredible insights. It's because God has revealed them to you and me. It's another one of those evidences or proofs that God's Spirit is working with us. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of God unless the Spirit of God is working with them. God's Spirit imparts scriptural understanding and helps our memory. Our understanding and our memory is another way to prove that God is working with us. A third way is that God's Spirit imparts power to conquer and overcome the deeds of the flesh. God's Spirit gives us the power to overcome the deeds of the flesh. Turn back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and to the end of the earth. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you. Now, any of you that have ever done any type of blasting, any of you that have ever done any type of heavy demolition, you probably know something about this. A stick of dynamite. Now, if I were to take a stick of dynamite that I got from Mr. Seifert, and I were to light that and then toss it out into the audience, nobody reacted because obviously that's not really dynamite. I see Jason scared, but he was able to deal with it. If that were a real stick of dynamite and I lit it and you saw the fuse sparkling and I threw it this way, people would scatter like roaches when the light comes on. If you lived in the South, you would know what that means. You go out in the garage at night, you flip on the light, and the roaches just head to the corners. But if I did that, if I took a piece of stick of dynamite and I lit it and I threw it, people would run and I would go to jail. Because dynamite's powerful. Dynamite has incredible potential to do things. Verse 8 of Acts 1 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. That word power comes from the Greek dunamis. Dunamis is also a root word for dynamite. When God says He gives you and me the power to overcome, it's the same kind of power that can blow rock apart if you're trying to get through an area. It's the same kind of power that can level buildings if it's put in the right place. God gives you and me that ability. So when you and I are going through a tough time, when you and I have temptations, when you and I have thoughts that we shouldn't have, And we ask God for help to overcome that. And He helps us. And He helps us get rid of the wrong thoughts and the wrong actions and the wrong deeds. That is God's Spirit working in you and working in me. That's the power of God's Spirit working in us. That's one of the beauties of what this day pictures for you and me. The day of Pentecost, the coming of God's Spirit, the ability to be able to change who and what we are. To be able to be something different tomorrow than we are today. The ability to become pillars in God's kingdom. The ability to be lights to the world all comes because that power works in you and me. To return to Romans 8, please. Romans 8, chapter 11, or Romans 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, which we've already read once. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's Spirit gives us the strength, the desire, and the ability to overcome the deeds of the flesh. Now, what I find kind of interesting is it gives us this ability to overcome the deeds of the flesh, which means we are tempted by them, which means they are a problem for us. It doesn't mean that you and I skate through life as perfect people. It means that when you and I allow ourselves to go down a wrong path, God's Spirit says, wake up, slow down, turn around, change what you're doing. And if we reach out to Him and say, I see where I'm headed, help me change direction, He will, more willing than we are, help us do that. God's Spirit helps us overcome the deeds of the flesh. When we're not doing something this year that we had trouble with 5 years ago, that's evidence that God's Spirit is working with you and me. Another tool is that God's Spirit infuses God's love in us for brethren and enemies. God's Spirit infuses love in us for our brethren and our enemies. You know, our enemies is the harder part of that, I think. Turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God gives us a certain perspective towards other people. God helps us to care for other people. And I think, for the most part, it's pretty easy to care for the people that are your friends. It's pretty easy to do something for somebody who's helped you in the past. Or it's pretty easy to say, you know, I'll come over and do something for you because I know you're a good person. But God's Spirit also works in us to have that same approach towards our enemies. Think of an enemy you have. You know, I asked Michelle this question. I said, who would be an enemy of mine? And she started listing off people. Not really. But we started talking about someone who I have a bit of a disagreement with. And I think this person has tried to harm me and has tried to harm my family. And I can tell you, it is difficult for me to picture this person in my mind and say, there's an enemy. God's Spirit should be motivating me to love him. Because I've had some not loving thoughts towards him. And then I can justify my thoughts and I can say, it's okay because. But yet when I look in the Bible, I know I can't say that. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. when we think about God's Holy Spirit motivating us to love our brethren and our enemies, it's an incredible thing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." When I think of my enemies, because that to me is the harder one, thinking of my friends is not hard. But when I think of my enemies, and I know because God's Spirit has taught me, God's Word has taught me, and it reminds me I need to love those people, we need to be praying for our enemies. We need to be doing something positive for our enemies, because that is one of the ways we know that God's Spirit is working with us. Because the natural man cannot do that. The natural man struggles with that. The natural man goes to war between families, between communities, between countries, because of hatred for enemies. God's Spirit will put in your mind and my mind and will remind us that we need to do something good for our enemies. And one of the best ways to get there is to pray and ask God for that perspective. It's to pray and ask God to change how we think towards someone. And then when we fall, to pray again and get back up. And then we fall again and we pray and we get back up. And that's God's Spirit working with us, because none of us will be perfect and getting better every day. Every one of us will have good times and bad times, and it's during the bad times that God's Spirit will redirect our thinking, will help us as long as we are open to it. The next tool that we can use to know that we have God's Spirit is that God's Spirit comforts and reassures us that we are the children of God headed for the kingdom of God. God's Spirit comforts us and reassures us that we are the children of God headed for the kingdom of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Just to be called sons and daughters of God shows how loving God is. Because you and I have met each other. We're not somebody, for the most part, that anyone's going to say, that is the most perfect person I've ever met. But for some reason, God has made a decision, and this has always boggled my mind, that somewhere during eternity, God and Jesus Christ got together and said, well, let's do something here. Let's create some blood and flesh people. Let's then go through this intricate plan. Let's go through the whole thing of you having to suffer and die so that they may have a chance to live forever and to be with us forever. When I think of that, it blows my mind. When I think of that, you know, if I were, which I know I'm not, if I were God, would that be the thought that I would have? Would I be so filled with love for others that I'm looking for a way to give more people a chance to experience this? I don't know what I would think, and I'm glad it's not up to me, and I'm glad that they did what they did. But God's Spirit works in you and me to remind us of these things. It works in you and me to bring to our thoughts, we are sons and daughters of God headed for the kingdom of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him." The Word of God says that you and I will be like God, and we will be able to see God. we will be able to have that relationship and that experience. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. When God's Spirit reminds you and me on a Wednesday afternoon after a horrible incident or after a big problem, wait, you're a son of God or a daughter of God, and long term, you're going to be in the kingdom of God. That changes who and what we are. That changes how we think. It changes how we interact with people. Turn to Jeremiah 31, please. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. He's talking about you and me here. He says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How do we get the law of God in our minds and written on our hearts? How do we have it as part of our very being, as part of who and what we are? It's God's Spirit working in us. It's God's Spirit reminding us when we slip or when we fall short, hey, get back on track, because ultimately God wants you with Him for all eternity. Look at the problems that are happening today. Look at the things you're having to deal with. Deal with them the best you can, but always keep in mind that our potential is sons of God in the kingdom of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The revelation and the knowledge of what we've been called to. The reminding us of where our future is. The reminding us of what this day means for you and me. The fact that God's Spirit works with you and me. The fact that God's Spirit opened our mind to what we know, and God's Spirit will bring to remembrance and will help us understand. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Having the confidence that we're the children of God headed for the kingdom of God is different than pride or self-confidence. It's confidence that there's something greater, there's someone greater, and there's a plan that's greater than you and me. It's a confidence that says, no matter what's going on, no matter what I'm going through, the end is better than anything that I'm having to face today. And when those thoughts are in our minds, that is God's Spirit working with you and me. That is God's Spirit reminding you and me that there's something better in the future. That no matter what the trouble is today, just stay true to what you believe. Stay true to God. Stay true to His Word. Stay true to His teaching. Stay true to your beliefs. And just keep plodding along day after day after day. God's Spirit reminds you and me that we're the children of God headed for the kingdom of God. On the day of Pentecost, almost 2,000 years ago, God gave His church an incredible blessing. He gave a group of people His Spirit to change who and what they were as individuals, to change where they were headed, to change how they think, to change how they react, to change how they treat people. And He gave that Spirit to them and down through the ages, and today He gives that Spirit to you and me. And He gives us the evidence that's shown in His Bible that His Spirit is working with us. We've looked at different ways that we can see from the Bible that God's Spirit is working with you and me. Because God's Spirit keeps us in tune with His wavelength. God's Spirit imparts scriptural understanding and helps us remember spiritual things. God's Spirit imparts the power to conquer and overcome the deeds of the flesh. God's Spirit imparts faith in the courage that Jesus Christ has in you and me. God's Spirit infuses God's love in us for our friends and even for our enemies. God's Spirit prompts us to desire to follow God and to live by His ways in everyday acts. And God's Spirit comforts and reassures you and me that we are the children of God and we are headed for the kingdom of God. The day of Pentecost is one of the greatest days that's ever been allowed to be part of humanity, because it was the day when God gave us His Spirit to work with a church, to change people, and to bring about something greater in the future. So we can use the tools that we found today, the tools from God's Word, to keep the confidence that we're led by God's Spirit and that you and I are the children of God headed for the kingdom of God.